You know, I am seriously considering keeping that music permanently as my intro music. I don't know, I just really like that. So before we dive into today's show, I want to talk about something I've been thinking about. So as you know, if you've been a listener, I have all these different kinds of episodes on here, right? Story times, some serious health stuff, some diet stuff, just all kinds of weird shit. And the serious subjects, I think, are important. You know, in fact, the subject in this episode is pretty serious. So although the serious subjects, yes, should be thrown in, I don't want this to be kind of like a depressing, negative kind of show. I want it to be fun. I want it to be funny. I want it to be entertaining, both to me, maybe especially for me, but for you as well. And so I'm going to try to just kind of have fun doing the episodes, and I hope that you will also have fun. And you know what? If you really hate what I'm doing, send me an email, anoldergayguyshow@gmail.com. Say, I really hate what you're doing. So in this show, we're going to talk about aging and we're going to talk about erections. And tell me if maybe you have ever said this. Gosh, this has never happened to me before. Liar, it has happened to you. And you know what? It's happened to just about all of us. The studies are now showing that guys in their 20s are developing problems with the firmness of their erections. So what's a guy to do? Well, let's talk about that a bit. And we will get to this topic right after the new segment of Listener Mail. I am your host, Joey Hernandez, and you are listening to Are Firmer Erections Possible as We Age? A Season 9 episode of An Older Gay Guy Show.
You've got mail.
Okay, for this first email, we're going way back to 2017, and I am changing the names and locations and a few other things that they might mention that are personal. The message is titled Alone and Scared. Hello, I just found your podcast, and after listening to the first six, I think I've gotten the courage up to email you. I just turned 43, and I do have an 18-year-old daughter and currently married. Long story, I will share if you want. I am unhappy and have been that way since my best friend and first crush slash love of 30 years had to part ways suddenly. There is this guy that I have really strong feelings for, and I do not know what to do about it. I have not told anyone about my feelings. He does know that I like him as a friend, and that I am married, and that I would like to divorce and try to be with a man. He just does not know it's him that I want. I'm sorry to be so vague, but I'm really nervous about this, and I hope you can help me with some advice. Thank you for your time, and I hope that you have a great day. P.S. Love the podcast. Okay, I'm going to read my reply to him, and then I will read his response to my reply. And then we'll move on to another email. So, I'm going to call him Pete. I'm going to call everybody Pete today. Hi, Pete. First off, thank you so much for listening to the podcast and your kind comment in your PS. I am always hesitant to give advice directly, as so many factors enter into the equation that would require personally knowing you. And even then, advice should only be given by a professional. That said, I do try to give generalities in my shows rather than give specific advice. I prefer to give people some things to think about so that they can try to make their own decisions. Ultimately, it is your life, and no one, not even a psychiatrist if they are a good one, should tell you what to do. They should instead merely give you some food for thought that might be able to help you fully assess your personal situation. So speaking in these generalities, what I would suggest you think about is your knowledge of what gay people you know who are in long-term relationships that call themselves truly happy. I'm going to be doing two upcoming shows on breaking up, and I'm going to discuss the many roadblocks that gay men seem to run into when having long-term relationships. I think, based on the articles I'm researching, as well as my own opinion, that it is very, very difficult. I'll go into the specific details in the podcast. The harsh reality is someone who is in their 40s and that has been in a straight relationship for a good part of their lives will have extreme struggles when deciding to leave those relationships for what they believe to be, quote, greener pastures, unquote, of relationships with men. So I offer a few points of thought. Some believe that gay men of all kinds have trouble in long-term commitments. 2, men in their 40s in a straight relationship can sometimes translate to a guy in his 50s in a gay relationship as viewed by the youth-obsessed gay male community. 3, how will your 18-year-old daughter react? Losing a relationship with a child can be devastating, especially if they end up siding with their mother. 4, what would happen if your perceived gay relationship does not last? What then? And 5, will your friend that you are attracted to be put off by your admission of your feelings, thus possibly losing him even as a friend? I know those things seem negative viewpoints, but people often just focus on all the positives when they are smitten with someone, so the downside needs to be equally weighed. I am sorry that your crush / love exited your life. The grieving process of losing someone that close can be devastating and is very real. I hope you find the answer that you search for. The truth is always important, but coming at it from a perspective of empathy for how your decisions affect others rather than just yourself is equally as important. I wish you the best. I hope in some small way this helped just a bit. Sincerely, Joey. And his short reply, thank you so much for responding to me. You've given me some things to think about, so trust me, I will. My daughter knows everything, and so does my wife. My daughter does not care that I am gay. She just wants me to be happy and don't want me to stay with her mother just to make her happy. She had a girlfriend right now, and she's actually bisexual, and I am okay with that. Her mom blames herself for me being gay, and I keep trying to tell her it's not her fault, it's just the way I am. I hate it when she cries at night when she thinks I am asleep. I guess I will try to see my therapist again. Thanks again for your show, and I hope it helps others the way it is helping me. P.S. If you want to talk about anything that I've mentioned to you, it is okay. I just ask no names be mentioned, please. I want to be anonymous, so I hope you understand. Indeed, I do, sir. And this was back in 2017, so it has been coming up on 7 years or so. A lot has changed in the world in 7 years. And I imagine a lot has changed in your life in 7 years. And you would actually be 50 now, which again is kind of a different place with gay men than it is for straight men. Women often view 50-year-old straight guys as, oh, he's in his prime, great. And with gay guys, it gets harder. And thank God for the younger guys that are into daddies. Or in my case, granddaddies, I guess. So I hope things work out well for you. If you are still a listener, shoot me an email. Tell me what's going on with you. Tell me how you've been. I would like to know. This next email is not very long, but I did want to mention it because it talks about so many episodes of this show that are gone. And it breaks my heart. You know, If you don't know the little history of it, Joey had a little panic that, oh my God, I'm never going to win a podcast award if I still have all this sex stuff on my show. So I started another show called Joey After Dark, moved all my, if I even said the word sex, I think, I moved it over to Joey After Dark. And then for whatever reason, I panicked. I don't even know why I panicked, but I panicked and I erased them. And I erased them on every platform that I had them on. And I erased them off my hard drive and I threw out the scripts and they're gone. And I don't feel like recreating those, I don't think. Maybe some stories I might put back in. But anyway, this one's called Thank You, Thank You, Thank You. I'll admit it, this is a little bit for my ego, but as well as mentioning those shows. Hey there, Joey. My name is Pete. I live in Montana as an assistant for a family-run business. I have the great luxury of putting in earbuds and just listening to music while I get my job done. It's the greatest shit ever for me because I can just tune out people. Music has always been an escape for me. But today, I just didn't know what to listen to. A lot on my mind, I guess. So I'm like, meh, maybe listen to a podcast. So my go-to for podcasts is usually NPR stuff. Makes me feel informed and, sort of classy. But not today. Today I was like, just punch in gay and see what comes up. You came up, sir, and made my fucking day. Thank you. The first thing I listened to was Naked Jocks in the Steam Room. I think that's gone. Totally hot and very intriguing. Having been in that situation, it totally gave me a chubby at work and left me feeling reminiscent. I mean, who doesn't want to see naked guys in the steam room? It made me laugh and really happy. It makes me cry when I think about that gone. So then I was like, let's see what else this guy's got. I scrolled all the way down to 2016. Oh, by the way, this email's from 2019. So I scrolled all the way down to 2016. This guy's been busy. I listened to Jock Feet, Gym Showers, Pet Family, Thanks for Making Me Cry, Jerk, Self-Esteem as We Age, The Funeral Surprise, and Fear and Anxiety. I kind of jumped around and seeing what you were all about. Wow, wow, wow. You were so relatable to me and so intriguing and funny too. Your stories are great, and I really can't wait to dive in and listen more. So what I really want to say is thank you so much for making my day. I've had a lot on my mind these last weeks, and listening to you made me really happy. That, my friend, is one of the kindest things that anybody has ever said. The things that you say about being gay and getting older really helped me today and made me feel better. Thank you for sharing the few personal stories that I've heard so far. I look forward to hearing more. Please keep on doing what you're doing, because I really appreciate it, and I'm sure other people do too. I don't have a podcast myself, just a public Instagram account, of which I am not going to mention to you. Check it out if you want. A large percentage of it is just me taking shameless, shirtless photos with my cat. LOL. Again, thank you, Joey. Your work is greatly appreciated. Pete. Thank you, sir. As I said, a little bit for the ego. So some of those are still around, I'm glad. Jock Feet's still there. Jim Showers is there. Pet Family's there. Self-Esteem as We Age is there. The Funeral Surprise is there. And probably Fear and Anxiety. I don't think that has sex in it. So all those are still there. And thank you so much. And I will check out your Instagram now that I have it in front of me, because there is certainly nothing wrong. In fact, encourage. That's what it is. Encourage for people to take shameless, shirtless photos of you, especially with your cat. And the last email I'm going to share with you, I know you are going to like this one a lot. This came to me last April 2023, and it is from Pete. Let me start by expressing how much I enjoy your podcasts. Thank you. During your recent episode, Manscaping, Penis Pumps, and Sounding, you asked for submissions of masturbation experiences and techniques. Below is one for consideration for inclusion in your future masturbation podcast. But before detailing one of my personal favorite masturbating experiences, I wanted to quickly share how informative your segment on sounding was. Thanks for sharing. I have enjoyed sounding on several occasions and could humorously relate to the experience the first time the well-lubricated sounding rod slipped from my fingers and quickly and completely slid deep into my fully erect shaft. It was exciting, and the erotic adrenaline rush kept me coming back for more. Also, I've discovered that reaching orgasm with the rod fully inserted adds additional pleasure and intensity with each pulsing throb of release as the semi-restrained load pressures into each forceful rope of cum. Thanks again for sharing. He's referring to an episode that I think is probably gone, and it was about sounding and my first experience with it. And if that doesn't exist anymore, I might redo that one because I think it's kind of a funny story. I have not done sounding for quite some time now. And if you don't know what sounding is, well, look it up. And surprise. Anyways, now for my masturbating experience. I am an avid physical fitness guy and greatly enjoy weightlifting. I'm not a muscle-pumped alpha stud by any means, but I do draw great personal satisfaction and intense arousal, and admittedly, by showing off my well-defined muscles. I am particularly proud of my upper body, arms, shoulders, chest, and abs. I also manscape by trimming my chest hair, pits, and pubes to help accentuate my muscle tone. I have a personal gym at home, so I regularly work out alone, wearing only bikini briefs to maximize my visual stimulation during my workout. I have always felt a deep, primordial sexual arousal by looking at a well-defined muscular male torso, especially loin-stirring when those tight pecs and abs are sporting the oh-so-erotic, quintessential masculine body hair. I regularly get semi-hard watching myself lift weights as my hairy chest muscles swell and engage under the strain. Later, while masturbating, I often relive these erotic workout moments until release. I began imagining combining the intense feeling of straining muscles releasing endorphins as I vigorously pumped weights with the escalating crescendo of orgasm. Let me just insert, I don't have my response to this email. But if I did not tell this gentleman that he really should write erotic fiction or erotic stories or even real life ones, he really should, because he certainly has a way with words and description. On one particular day, about 4 months ago, I began an upper body weight workout. I started with core muscle work for 20 minutes until my abs were tight, tingling, and I could feel my obliques begin pulsating involuntarily. Then I focused on biceps and pectorals for 10 minutes. At this point, my heart rate was elevating and sweat was forming on my chest. Reclining on the weight bench, I began chest presses. As I clenched my core muscles around my spine, I pumped the weights slowly up and down, controlling each rep, watching the reflection of my body in the mirror as my abs glistened with sweat squeezing tighter with each chest press. My bikini briefs stretched across my lower abs with the thin waistband bridging the taut muscles, gaping enough to expose wisps of pubic hair, ab sweat, and the faded tan line from last summer. As I began to feel those first electric pulses radiating from deep around my prostate, my thoughts become erotic images of my cock reactively pumping out streams of cum while my chest and arms pumped adrenaline through my entire core. My cock grew harder. I stood up and began working my triceps. With my abs tightly engaged, I constricted my core muscles and pumped methodically up and down. The more I pumped iron, the more incredibly aroused I became at the thought of culminating this intense upper body day with a lower groin release. Back on the bench, laying slightly inclined upward, I returned to the next rep of chest presses. I was fully erect with my cock stretching the fabric of my briefs. The sight of the opalescent glistening of my pre-cum soaking through the thin layer of fabric urged me on. My muscles were starting to atrophy. As I kept pumping, my body told me that this would be ending soon. I was so excited that I was pumping on pure adrenaline, my chest muscles quivering as my swollen cockhead pushed past the restraints of my briefs, just enough for the soft, fully stretched frenulum to be straddled by the elastic band of my briefs. I really wasn't going to last much longer. Upper body muscles, or my looming, aching desire to come. Laying there, looking down my fatigued, trembling muscles, covered in sweat-damped hair, and watching the increasing amount of pre-ejaculate pooling on my lower abs, I arched my lower back, slightly lifting my hips, and with everything I had left, I drew in two deep breaths and drove my arms upward, pounding out a few more chest presses while thrusting my ass up and down rapidly, allowing the briefs, tightly pressed to my throbbing frenulum, to edge my release with such intensity. Exhausted and yet so close, I drew in two more deep breaths while pumping my hips, drawing ejaculation to the brink. I heaved up one more everything. I had chest stretching pump just as my balls wrenched tightly to the base of my throbbing shaft. My chest muscles shook uncontrollably as rope after rope of cum pulsated forward, stretching the span of my torso. I lay breathing rapidly, totally spent for probably my most intense full-body workout ever. Thank you again for providing this great forum. Well, my, that is something interesting. You know, I have lifted weights, you know, because I used to be general manager of gyms. I have lifted weights after the gym closed, and I've even done it naked a few times in a couple gyms that I worked at, but a lot downstairs in my home gym. So I can kind of relate to some of this because, you know, when you are into weightlifting, you're into fitness, you know, there's a saying, nothing tastes as good as being fit feels. If you are very muscular, you have low body fat, you're really into weightlifting and cardio and ab work, you get this erotic response from yourself. One of my favorite things to do is get stoned and strip down and do ab exercises really hard, really tight, making the muscles scream. For whatever reason, that is so erotic to me. This email was good. Thank you so much, Pete, I'm calling you. And so, my friends, that will end another listener email session. And there'll be one in the next one as well. And my friends, if you have something to say, a story to tell, a comment, or whatever, you can reach me at anoldergayguyshow@gmail.com. Please mention if it is private for me or if I can use your email with changes in names and location. Your story can help others, so please consider allowing your email to be shared. Thanks, guys. And now, on to our firmer erections possible as we age.
This show is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.
Okay, so it seems that much of the data falls within the parameters of erectile dysfunction, which I never really thought of it that way, but I suppose it really does make sense because I always thought of erectile dysfunction as not being able to get any kind of erection at all, just nothing working. And really, it's about any time that you are, for your age, not able to achieve a full hard erection. Now, that does change as you age. The firmness, the amount of blood that gets in there to give you a good erection decreases as we age. And the reasoning of that is that as we age, if we are eating a diet that maybe is not so spectacular, and most of us don't eat a great nutritious diet all the time, we begin to get arterial sclerosis. So the hardening of the arteries, as it is known. And so it decreases the amount of blood flow that we get. That's why diabetics, who are known for also having circulatory problems, often have trouble with their hands and their feet. Feet especially, furthest away from the heart. So therefore, the blood has to travel all the way down to your feet and all the way back up through the heart, through the entire body, back down again. So as we talk about what we can do to offset erectile dysfunction, it's important to note that the first thing that we are trying to do is we are trying to get more blood down into the penis that might have decreased through various things we're going to talk about in a few minutes. But we need to try to increase the circulation, and therefore that's going to lead to some of the information we're going to talk about. Now, there was a study that was done in Japan a few years ago, and I'm going to review a little bit of this, although it's very basic information. By the way, as I record this section today, the owner of the house that we rent an apartment in is having new gutters put on the house today, so I apologize, but you're going to hear some rapping in the background periodically. Erection hardness is an elemental component of men's sexual quality of life that can be easily measured by the Erection Hardness Score, EHS. And in this, they did a total of 7,710 men with a mean age of 39.3 plus or minus 13 years participated in the survey. We found a significant age-dependent decrease in EHS, sexual confidence, and frequency of sexual activities. Sexual confidence was strongly associated with higher EHS, but was also associated with older age groups, presence of offspring, awareness of better general health, and greater frequency of sexual activity. In age-adjusted multivariate logistic regression, risk factors for a lower EHS were heavy smoking, which was defined as more than 2 packs per day, or a history of metabolic syndrome, hypertension, or diabetes. Regarding the enrollment of this study, we recruited the participants through a special website entitled Hardness of Erected Penis is Pride of Men. There was no compensation for participants in this study. The survey included questions regarding demographics, lifestyles, comorbidities, self-reported confidence for general and sexual health, EHS, subjective assessment of erectile dysfunction, sexual behaviors, and attitudes towards ED treatment. So people were able to answer these questions in a self-reporting way, and therefore, to be honest with you, I'm not even sure why they did this study, because I don't think they came out with anything new. The conclusion was EHS correlates to various elements such as aging, sexual behaviors, sexual confidence, and ED-related risk factors, and can be a valuable tool in clinical practices for monitoring and treating ED, and thereby improving the quality of life for men and their sexual partners. When you have something that is self-reported like that, it really skews the data, I think. Now, if it was anonymous, and I'm assuming it was, you might have a better chance of getting true data. However, usually, like in the case of penis size, even if you're answering a questionnaire that is anonymous, but you're self-reporting it, you're going to exaggerate a little bit. If your name was on it, you may exaggerate it even more. So when you're looking back at this, they weren't compensated and it was self-reported. And I guess whatever data they did collect basically said what you could expect, that men's sexual quality of life is affected by those factors. So let's look at more specific things that you can do to increase the hardness of your dick. Okay, so I'm going to begin this by starting and talking about what I personally do to try to improve my erections. Now, I had talked a little bit about this in one of the videos that is on an Older Gay Guy Show YouTube channel, and that was a video called Erection Rejection. And I talked a little bit about the ED medications that are out there. Now, they've since come out with a few more, actually. So currently, there are 5 oral medications that are available. There's Viagra, which I'm sure everyone has heard of. That was the very first one that came about over 20 years ago. There's Cialis, which is the one that I can take if I choose to take ED medications, which currently I am not. There's one called Stendra. There's one called Levitra, which I used to take, which I liked very much, but I'm not able to take that because of my current regimen of medications. One of the medications I take, which is Norvir, boosts the effectiveness of other medications, and it makes it too dangerous for me to take Levitra. And the last one I've never heard of, called Staxin. So those 5 are the current ones that are available for oral dosages. Now, I have had problems with all of the ED medications that I have tried, which I had tried Viagra once. It gave me very bad low back ache. I was out socializing when I took it. It was kind of an additive to my evening. And I was getting such lower back pain that was so bad, I ended up going home. about 10:30 that night. We had just gotten out to a club, and about a half hour later, I just couldn't bear it, and I went home. So that was my one experience with Viagra. Levitra, I did take for a while. I probably took it, 20 times or so. Very effective, but I also did have body aches from it. And Cialis, the one that I took the most frequent, that is supposed to last for 3 days. It never really lasted that long for me, at least not fully effective, but definitely for 48 hours anyway. And that also gave me body aches. And it got to the point where these body aches that I would get were all of my muscles, everywhere in my body, and it included my heart, which, of course, the heart is a muscle. I could actually feel my heart aching. And I think I can handle pain pretty damn good. You have to remember, I had a quarter of my tongue cut out. When that happens and I had to recover and I couldn't really eat or drink and it was very difficult for close to 2 weeks, it was bad. That was the worst pain I was ever in. The body aches were nowhere near that intensity, but they were still bad enough that I wanted to stop the medication and see about other potential options that I had. And so I decided to stop that. And now that I'm making this particular episode and it's reminding me about it, I am going to ask my cardiologist when I see him in May what the deal is with the potential of me taking these medications. I want to know if the body aches, especially my heart aching, is in any way dangerous, or if it's just one of those things like if you work out hard, your muscles hurt for a few days kind of thing. I will take them again if I can get clearance. I'm hoping that I will be dropping off of Norvair in the near future in my medication regimen because I've been taking it for 25 years or so. I would really like to get rid of it. And then I would be able to take any of the ED medications that I wish to. So I'm going to look into that. But be aware, if you do take ED medications, there can be side effects. And this muscle ache thing is one of the side effects. I think probably for most people, it would never be as severe as for me. I think it is severe for me because of the Norvair boosting things. But also because I work out so much, my muscles tend to be, strained anyway. They're microscopically torn a little bit when you work out hard and as you recover. So I think all of that played into how bad my body ached. So if you are going to look into ED medications, discuss it with your physician. It's prescription only. Talk about the potential side effects and what side effects, if any, the doctor would want you to contact the office immediately because of. Because sometimes side effects, and this is true with any medication, some of the side effects, the ones that are really severe, can be a precursor to something seriously going wrong. So whenever you're taking a new medication, it's pretty wise to ask the doctor about the potential side effects and when they would want you to contact the office, depending on what is happening with you. But the thing that I think is going to help me the most, if I can manage to become consistent with it, and that is the problem I'm having. But dick pumps, and I've talked about dick pumps many times, and I have told you a horrifying story of my first experiences using a dick pump going back about 40 years. And I talked about that in an episode in 2023 called Manscaping, Dick Pumps and Sounding. But a lot of the literature and articles that I have read about erectile dysfunction or being able to get somewhat of an erection but not fully hard, again, is because of lack of blood flow. And dick pumps will help with blood flow. That's a given. In fact, Doctors have even suggested to patients that they get a dick pump and use it because it tightens and pulls your dick in and expands your dick, and it's just channeling more blood into it constantly. The problem is consistency for me. I should be doing it anywhere between 15 and 30 minutes per day, but to be honest with you, I'll go through periods where I'll do it like 4 or 5 days in a row, and then I miss 3 days, and then so if it's not consistent, I'm sure it still does some good, but I can't really say, hey, wow, I'm getting these humongous erections now and their heart is a rock, because I just haven't been doing it enough. And gosh, wouldn't you think out of things, you know, that there is great incentive to do this. If I just take 15 to 30 minutes per day, which isn't a long time, obviously. I can do other things while I am doing it, although not what I was doing in the story that I told. But I can watch videos, I can watch porn, which always gives me a nice, happy little feeling. So I've got to try to do that and be more consistent with it. More blood in is the key, absolutely. Let me just do a few more facts here. According to Healthline, about 70% of men 70 and over report being sometimes able or never able to achieve an erection. As testosterone levels drop with age, ED becomes more likely. Other causes of ED include stress, tiredness, drinking too much alcohol, side effects of some medications, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol. Erectile dysfunction becomes more common with age, but there's no age limit for getting healthy erections. According to GoodRx, the age distribution of ED symptoms is as follows. Less than 2%, symptoms first start before the age of 40. 4%, symptoms start between 40 and 49. 1 in 4, symptoms start between 50 and 59. And 2 in 5, symptoms start between age 60 and 69. And as I said at the very beginning of this episode, some people in their 20s are even reporting problems with getting erections. Here are some lifestyle habits that may help improve erections. Exercise. 40 minutes of intense aerobic exercise 4 times a week can help relieve erection issues. Regular exercise can also strengthen erections. Now, I know for people that don't exercise, don't like to exercise, for me to say, hey, do 40 minutes of intense aerobic exercise 4 times a week, and none of you will do that. I think this is going to be most useful to people that do work out, that do go to the gym, that are trying to live a healthy lifestyle, and maybe they just need a little bit more encouragement to push a little bit harder than 40 minutes of intense aerobic exercise 4 times a week. That would be doable for a lot of you. Second thing is eat well. Eat more fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, and less processed foods, sugars, and red meat. The nutrients in these foods can improve blood flow to the penis. We know that that's the way you should be eating anyway, right? Whether you want to lose weight, whether you want to stay fit, whether you want more energy, if you want to sleep better, if you want to be in a better mood, there are many reasons why you should eat well, and erections are just another reason. Number 3, reduce stress. Stress reduction can help increase testosterone levels. And 4, sleep. Getting enough sleep can help improve sexual responsiveness. Other things that may help include abstaining from smoking or drinking alcohol, communicating with your partner. To last longer in bed, you can try slowing down movement, using condoms, and using the pause-squeeze method. And what is the pause-squeeze method, you may ask? The pause-squeeze method is a technique that may help men with premature ejaculation last longer in bed, and it works as follows. Start sexual activity, including stimulating the penis, until you feel almost ready to ejaculate. Squeeze the end of your penis where the head joins the shaft. Keep squeezing for several seconds until the urge to ejaculate passes. You can also try these steps. Put your index finger on the back side of the penis. Place your thumb on the other side of the penis. Gently squeeze. Wait for about 30 seconds and repeat the steps several times in a row. I know for most of us older guys, premature ejaculation is generally not something that we deal with. And if we do, gosh, that pause, squeeze thing, that doesn't sound very comfortable to me, but maybe it will be. And I just wanted to finish with a couple of comments from people that have been online and been talking about this. Just a couple people. One says, L-arginine complex gets me super hard. That's just one person's anecdotal response. I don't know if that's true. And another one, drink more water, a gallon a day. You don't have to force it, but work your way up. Cardio will increase blood volume. Your post-workout pumps will be crazy too. Strength training, especially legs, will help increase blood circulation. And to increase blood flow, hormone levels, and libido, make sure you're doing less alcohol, better diet, and no smoking. And of course, we know that. So, I don't know. Hopefully, there are some things that we can do as we age to increase how hard the erections that we get will be. I'm always amazed when I'm looking at porn and I see older dudes that are getting rock hard. Obviously, when you're doing a porn film, it's very well known that they will take ED medications so that they have a nice hard-on for the filming of the video. And so, my friends, if you have some experience in using some other method to help you cope with the lack of a full, firm erection, it would be greatly helpful if you would be willing to share your story of what you're doing about it. I, of course, will change your name and location. Please consider helping others and sending your story to AnOlderGayGuyShow@gmail.com. My apologies for the fact that this has been sporadic, getting episodes out. I do have to tell you that's going to continue for a little bit more, but I hope to be able to get on track by early spring. Meanwhile, this is Joey Hernandez, and I really appreciate you joining me today. Please consider subscribing and being a regular follower and listener. I will be back as soon as I can with another episode. Until then, bye for now.